Welcome to the GCSE Physics Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we are diving deep into one of the most relevant and exam-tested topics in the OCR specification, solar power, topic 5.9 in the Energy Resources Unit. Whether you are setting the foundation or higher tier, this episode is going to give you everything you need: the key concepts, the exam technique, the common mistakes to avoid, and a quick-fire quiz at the end to test your recall. So grab your revision notes, maybe a highlighter, and let's get started. First, let me tell you why this topic matters. Solar power is not just a trendy topic, it is a cornerstone of the Energy Resources Unit, and OCR examiners love asking about it because it tests so many different skills at once. You need to know the science, you need to be able to calculate efficiency, and you need to evaluate solar power against other energy sources. That is assessment objectives 1, 2, and 3 all in one topic. So getting this right could earn you a lot of marks. Let us start with the absolute fundamentals, and I mean, the thing that trips up more students than anything else in this topic: there are two completely different types of solar technology, and you must never, ever confuse them. The first is the solar photovoltaic cell. We call it a PV cell for short. A PV cell converts light energy directly into electrical energy. That is its job. Light goes in, electricity comes out. Think of your calculator, the little strip at the top that works in sunlight. That is a PV cell. The second is the solar thermal panel. This is completely different. A solar thermal panel converts light energy into thermal energy. In other words, it heats things up. Specifically, it heats water, or a fluid that then heats water. You will find these on rooftops connected to the hot water system of a house. Now, here is the key distinction that OCR examiners specifically credit. Solar cells transfer light to electricity. Solar panels transfer light to thermal energy, that is, heat. If you mix these up in an exam, you will lose marks. So let us make this stick with a memory trick. Think of it this way. PV cells give you power for your voltage, electricity. Solar thermal panels give you a warm shower. PV equals electricity, thermal equals heat. Say it out loud. PV equals electricity, thermal equals heat. Now, how does a PV cell actually work? At the GCSE level, you do not need to know the quantum physics in detail, but you do need to understand the basic mechanism. A PV cell is made from a semiconductor material, usually silicon. Silicon has a special property. When photons, that is, particles of light, hit the silicon, they knock electrons loose. These free electrons then flow through the material and around an external circuit, and that flow of electrons is what we call an electric current. So the light energy is being converted into electrical energy by liberating electrons within the silicon. The cell is made of two layers of silicon, an N-type layer on top, which has extra electrons, and a P-type layer underneath, which has gaps where electrons could go. At the boundary between these two layers, called the P-N junction, there's an electric field that pushes the freed electrons in one direction, creating a direct current, or DC. In your home, you use alternating current, or AC, so an inverter is needed to convert the DC output of solar panels into usable AC electricity. Now let us talk about solar thermal systems in a bit more detail. A solar thermal collector is essentially a dark-colored panel with pipes running through it. Dark colors absorb radiation more effectively. You will have covered this in the radiation topic. The fluid in the pipes absorbs the thermal energy from the collector and carries it to a heat exchanger, which transfers that energy to your domestic hot water supply. The fluid then circulates back to the collector to be heated again. It is a closed-loop system. So, to summarize the two systems, PV cells use the photoelectric effect to generate electricity. Solar thermal panels use radiation absorption to heat water. Both use the sun as their energy source. Both are renewable, but they do completely different jobs. Let us now talk about why solar power is classified as a renewable energy source. And be careful here, because the examiner wants a specific answer. Solar power is renewable because the energy source, the sun, is continuously replenished. The sun will keep shining for approximately another 5 billion years, so for all practical purposes, it is inexhaustible. Crucially, using solar energy does not reduce the amount of solar energy available. Compare this to fossil fuels, which took millions of years to form and are being used up far faster than they can be replaced. That is the key distinction. When you write this in an exam, do not just say, "The sun will not run out." Say, "Solar power is renewable because the energy source, the sun, is continuously replenished and is not depleted by use." That phrasing will earn you the mark. Now, let us talk about the advantages and disadvantages of solar power. And this is where the big evaluation questions come in. OCR loves a 6-mark level of response question, asking you to evaluate solar power, and I'm going to give you the perfect framework for answering it. I want you to think in three categories: economic, environmental, and reliability. I call this the EER framework. Economic, environmental, reliability. Starting with economic factors. On the positive side, once installed, solar panels have essentially zero fuel cost. The sun does not send you a bill. Over a 25 to 30 year lifespan, this can save a household thousands of pounds. On the negative side, the initial capital cost of installation is very high. A typical domestic solar PV system might cost 5,000 to 10,000 pounds to install. This is a significant barrier. Also, solar power has a low energy density compared to fossil fuels or nuclear power. This means you need a large area of panels to generate the same amount of energy that a relatively small amount of coal or uranium could produce. Moving to environmental factors. On the positive side, during operation, solar panels produce no carbon dioxide emissions and no other pollutants. This means they do not contribute to the greenhouse effect or climate change during use. They are also silent and have no moving parts, so there is no noise pollution or mechanical wear. On the negative side, and this is a nuance that examiners specifically look for, manufacturing solar panels does have a carbon footprint. Mining the silicon, manufacturing the cells, and transporting the panels all require energy, which currently often comes from fossil fuels, so it is not entirely zero carbon over its full life cycle. A good exam answer acknowledges this distinction. Zero emissions during operation, but some emissions during manufacture. And finally, reliability factors. This is where solar power has its biggest weakness. Solar power is intermittent. That is the key word, intermittent. Not just unreliable. Use the word intermittent. Output depends on light intensity, time of day, season, and cloud cover. At night, output is zero. On a cloudy winter day in the UK, output is very low. This means solar power cannot provide a constant, guaranteed supply of electricity. To use solar power around the clock, you need energy storage, typically batteries, which adds further cost and complexity. On the positive side for reliability, no moving parts means very low maintenance requirements and a long operational lifespan. Now let us move on to the mathematics of solar power, specifically efficiency calculations, because these are guaranteed to appear in your exam. The efficiency formula is: efficiency equals useful output power divided by total input power multiplied by 100%. This formula is given on your OCR formula sheet, so you do not need to memorize it, but you absolutely must know how to use it correctly. Here is where candidates lose marks. They forget to calculate the total input power first. Let me walk you through a typical exam question. A solar panel has an area of 2 square meters. The solar intensity is 800 watts per square meter. The panel produces an electrical output of 240 watts. Calculate the efficiency of the panel. Step 1. Calculate the total input power. Total input power equals intensity multiplied by area. That is 800 watts per square meter multiplied by 2 square meters, which equals 1,600 watts. This step is where most candidates go wrong. They just use 800 watts as the input, forgetting to multiply by the area. Step 2. Apply the efficiency formula. Efficiency equals 240 divided by 1600 multiplied by 100%. That gives you 15%. So the panel is 15% efficient. This means 15% of the incoming solar energy is converted into useful electrical energy, and the remaining 85% is dissipated as heat. Always show you're working, always include units, and always check that your efficiency value is between 0 and 100%. If you get a value greater than 100%, you have made an error. Go back and check. Another important distinction in calculations is between power and energy. Power is the rate of energy transfer measured in watts. Energy is the total amount transferred measured in joules or kilowatt hours. The relationship is energy equals power multiplied by time. So if a solar panel produces 200 watts of power for 5 hours, the energy produced is 200 multiplied by 5 multiplied by 3,600 seconds, which equals 3,600,000 joules or 3.6 megajoules. Alternatively, in kilowatt hours, it is 0.2 kilowatts multiplied by 5 hours, which equals 1 kilowatt hour. Now, let us spend some time on exam technique, because knowing the content is only half the battle. The most important thing I can tell you about answering solar power questions is this. Be specific. Vague answers do not earn marks. Let me give you some examples. If a question asks you to explain why solar power is unreliable, do not write, "It depends on the weather." Write, "The output of solar panels is intermittent because it depends on light intensity, which varies with time of day, season, and cloud cover. At night, output falls to zero." If a question asks about environmental benefits, do not write, "It is eco-friendly." Write, "During operation, solar panels do not release carbon dioxide, so they do not contribute to the enhanced greenhouse effect and climate change." If a question asks about cost, do not write, "It is expensive to set up but cheap to run." Write, "Solar panels require a high initial capital cost for installation, but once operational, the fuel cost is zero as sunlight is free." Notice the pattern? Every answer has a specific detail, a specific consequence, and specific terminology. That is what earns marks. Now, for 6-mark level of response questions, which are the big evaluate questions, you need a structured approach. Use the EER framework I mentioned: economic, environmental, reliability. Write 2 to 3 sentences on each. Include both advantages and disadvantages. Finish with a reasoned conclusion. For example, overall, solar power is most suitable for locations with high solar intensity and where grid connection is difficult or expensive, such as remote areas or developing countries. Let us talk about command words, because OCR uses specific words that tell you exactly what they want. State or give means a brief factual answer, 1 or 2 words or a short phrase, no explanation needed. Describe means say what happens or what something looks like. Use correct terminology. Explain means say how or why. Always use the word because to link cause and effect. If you are explaining, you must have a cause and a consequence. Calculate means show you're working, use the correct formula, and include units. Compare means identify both similarities and differences. Use comparative language like whereas and in contrast. Evaluate means consider both sides, use evidence, and make a reasoned judgment. This is the highest level command word. One more exam tip: watch out for the word only. If a question says solar power only produces electricity from sunlight and asks you to discuss a limitation, they are pointing you towards intermittency. If they say it only produces electricity, they might be testing whether you know about solar thermal systems too. Now it is time for the quick fire recall quiz. I am going to ask you 5 questions. Pause the podcast after each one. Think of your answer, then I will give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the difference between a solar PV cell and a solar thermal panel? Pause now and think. Answer. A solar PV cell converts light energy into electrical energy. A solar thermal panel converts light energy into thermal energy used to heat water. Question 2. Give one reason why solar power is classified as renewable. Pause now. Answer. The energy source, the sun, is continuously replenished and is not depleted by use. Question 3. A solar panel has an area of 3 square meters. Solar intensity is 600 watts per square meter. The panel outputs 108 watts of electricity. What is the efficiency? Pause and calculate. Answer. Total input power equals 600 multiplied by 3, which is 1,800 watts. Efficiency equals 108 divided by 1,800 multiplied by 100%, which equals 6%. Question 4. Give 2 reasons why solar power has an intermittent supply. Pause now. Answer. Output depends on light intensity, which varies with time of day, zero output at night, and cloud cover, which reduces light intensity. Question 5. A student says solar power produces no pollution. Is this fully correct? Explain your answer. Pause and think. Answer. This is not fully correct. During operation, solar panels produce no carbon dioxide or other pollutants. However, manufacturing the panels does have a carbon footprint, as energy, often from fossil fuels, is used in production. So the statement is only true for the operational phase. How did you do? If you got all 5, excellent work. If you missed any, go back and reread your notes on those specific points. Let me leave you with a quick summary of the 5 most important things to remember for your exam. 1. PV cells make electricity. Solar thermal panels make hot water. Never confuse them. 2. Solar power is renewable because the sun is continuously replenished and not depleted by use. 3. For efficiency calculations, always calculate total input power first. intensity multiplied by area. Then divide useful output by total input and multiply by 100%. 4. Use the word intermittent to describe solar power supply issues. Explain that output depends on light intensity, time of day, and cloud cover. 5. In evaluation questions, use the EER framework, economic, environmental, reliability. Include both advantages and disadvantages, and finish with a reasoned conclusion. That is it for today's episode. You have covered the full OCR specification content for solar power topic 5.9, the key calculations, the exam technique, and tested your recall. You are well on your way to those top marks. Good luck with your revision, and remember, every mark counts. See you in the next episode.